Squadcast, the Tag Digital podcast.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hello, and welcome back to the Tag Digital Squadcast with me, Charlotte, paid social manager. And today I am joined by the whole Tag Digital social team, Jack, Jess, Drew, Cara, Kitty, Beth, Kelsey, and Gabby. Right, so to start off, we'll do a little quick fire round to get to know you all a little bit better. First question, if you could have one superpower, what would it be? Kitty.
I definitely go for invisibility, yeah.
Nice, I would like that one as well. Cara.
I think transporting, is that?
Yeah, transporting.
No, that doesn't sound right. Teleporting, that's the one.
Yeah, teleporting.
I'll get the bus.
Teleporting, yeah, I would like that one too. Drew.
Probably like unlimited running or athletic stamina, because I get tired so easy.
Ooh, I like that one. Be a Olympic world champion. And Gabby, what would your superpower be?
Definitely super strength. Ooh. Jessica Jones is my weird role model.
I like it. Cool. So, second question I've got for you guys is, if you had to cook a meal for a dinner party, what would it be? Cara.
What would I cook? Probably something like a bruschetta to start with. Just something simple. Nice. Main pasta, you know, keep Italian. And then, yeah, dessert. I don't know. Someone else can take that.
Kizzy, what would you choose?
I'd probably go for kind of like fajita night vibes. My friends love my salmon tacos.
Very nice.
Bit of the chef in the group.
I love a fish taco.
Yeah, so good.
Gabby, what would you choose?
Well, I kind of think about more of like how much cleanup I'm gonna have to do. So I'll probably just do like a one pot something, like a curry, like just put everything in one and then clean like three pots.
Best. Good thinking, good forward thinking. Andrew, what would your meal of choice be for a dinner party?
Well, I've been told I make a really good scallops and creamed corn, but for a dinner party, I'll probably go with something like a beef Wellington with some mash and like a like a red wine sauce.
Wow. Both very
technical.
Love it. I want to come to your dinner party, Drew.
You're all invited.
Squadcast. The Tag Digital Podcast.
Great. So moving on from platform innovations, is there anything working particularly well on your campaigns on the platforms recently? We'll start with Meta.
Yeah, no, something we've been trying more recently across the social team on Meta is layering lookalike audiences with top of the funnel targeting like interests and job titles. I've looked at year-on-year stats for one of my clients. One of the reasons that we do this is when a client briefs in a budget that might not be, it doesn't reach a certain amount, and it just means that we only need to do two campaigns instead of three, and it allows us to push more budget behind both of the campaigns and also helps with the targeting. So for example, we would take the lookalikes of all the remarketing audiences and then layer it with the interests or the job titles. And I've looked across two of the campaigns that we've ran last year in comparison to this year just to see how the results varied. And then one of the events, like a digital event, had a 238% increase of overall conversions. And then looking more closely at just the top of the funnel new data conversions last year compared to this year, we had a 506% increase, which does show that this works. And I think it's important to note that this probably is more a case-by-case basis. Like, it might be different for every client, but given the outline, if we don't have that initial budget brief, then it's good to start with this. And if it doesn't work for the client, then you can look to separating the lookalikes and the demographics out as an optimization.
Yeah, cool. There are some really good stats there. And definitely seems like it is working. For setting this up, do you start with a 1% lookalike and layer that, or do you start with slightly larger since you're adding another layer to it?
It depends on where the country is. I'm targeting, if it was like America, I'd probably start with a 1%. If it's the UK, I'd maybe start with a 2%. And then because it's got the second layer of targeting, I would maybe not always use the third layer just to make sure it stays broad, but then not too broad.
Yep, definitely. Because I guess the lookalike audiences are already going to be somewhat relevant to the campaign. So just adding this layer will make sure they're even more relevant and, yeah, hitting those high intent users. Do you use interest job titles? What do you find usually works better for this?
I think it depends on who the client is. So if it was more of a, like we had a campaign that was like comic book based, I mean, that would probably be more interest targeting. But for example, this digital event, it's the job titles did work better, but it just varies depending on what the event is.
Cool. And are you using lookalikes of website visitors, Facebook engagement? What do you find works best?
I tend to use a lookalike of all of the remarketing audiences that are available, but if there's a lot, like, it just depends on how big it is. But if I was using a lookalike, how many lookalikes I was to use on the job titles, I would use the same lookalikes on the interest, so you can test and see what ones are working best against each other, so it's not completely different.
Yeah, cool. Sounds really good. So something you definitely recommend moving forward with, maybe lower budget campaigns?
Yeah, no, definitely, because you can always look at separating the lookalikes out if it doesn't work for, as an optimization down the line, but it has had some success.
Cool. Is there anything else we've been using across Meta recently that you've seen good performance from?
Yes, so we've been, and I'm going to combine these next 2 points because they are quite similar and they kind of feed into each other. We've been both kind of measuring more upper funnel events on campaigns, and also implementing a bit more broad targeting and or kind of optimizing for these different upper funnel events at a new data level. So to clarify what I mean by that, when I'm talking about upper funnel events, I mean things like if you have a Del Prom ticket that's expensive, we'll also track things like add to cart or viewing particular pages or various kind of points along the line of that conversion, so that perhaps we can optimize for people who are showing interest in the ticket, but because we're only going to see a handful of conversions, you might not see enough there to actually have the platform move out of the learning phase, which is bad. So when you can optimize for that and even just track to have the data for these upper funnel goals, that allows your campaigns to be a bit more tailored. To that end, a lot of platforms, particularly Meta, as they remove some various targeting options that are a bit more in-depth, as they've done a couple points throughout 2022 and now 2023, it's clear that the platforms are pushing us to become more broad with our targeting. And so we've taken that in course and are attempting to kind of go with what the platforms are pushing. And to that end, similar to how we're tracking these upper funnel events, particularly with Meta, if you have a lot of kind of new data what you're targeting, especially on these high ton of price tickets, we've found it to be a very good optimization recently, not to optimize towards the conversions, as I said, but to optimize towards either add to cart or towards a web traffic objective. So finding people who are interested in your site, exploring your site, not necessarily converting, but that is allowing the platform to get a better idea for who you want to be serving your ads to, rather than it going off of maybe a handful of conversions that it'll see throughout its life.
Cool. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think optimizing towards conversions to people who maybe have never heard about your event before may not be the best way to set up your campaign. So this is really interesting. Do we need anything from the client to set this up, or can we do it just by having access to their website?
Well, provided we have that all the correct pixels are installed and everything with Tag Manager is all good, then we should have no problems with setting something like this up. Particularly with a web traffic audience, all you need is the Meta pixel installed on that website at kind of all stages of the website to be able to optimize for that goal.
Cool, very interesting. And back to your broad targeting, I know this goes slightly against what Beth was saying with the lookalike audiences. Do we need bigger budgets for this, or is it something you're testing across all sorts of budgets right now?
It does tend to work better with larger budgets. It's effectively handing the keys to the platform and saying, hey, we're going to find this user that's going to pay for this ticket. Just give us some time, give us the money, and we'll find it. That's what the platforms are wanting. It makes sense because that gives them, it gives them both kind of higher ad spends, but it gives them the kind of, it gives them the motive to kind of keep some of their innovations internal.
Yeah.
But not even necessarily going broad targeting, as in like no targeting at all, but in being almost unafraid of larger audience size has been kind of my primary testing point as of late, and I don't have enough data to really have a conclusive answer, but early results have been strong whenever I've optimized audiences to be a bit broader and a bit larger, especially with goals like lead generation and biz prom, that has improved my campaigns.
Yeah, really interesting. And I think Meta going forward is trying to push us to handing over the reins to them and letting their machines and things do all the learning for us and finding the users. So yeah, maybe that's something that we should all start testing and using going forward.
It's definitely worth a look for sure, especially at that kind of new data level where you're targeting complete net new users. At a remarketing level, we can still be quite specific and tailored, but with new data, I agree with that.
Cool. Well, great. Thanks, everyone. Some really interesting things there, and definitely things that we can all take away and try in our campaigns moving forward.
Squadcast, the Tag Digital podcast.
Amazing. So now we've heard what's working well on Meta. Jumping over to LinkedIn, is there anything that you've been finding working particularly well for you and your campaigns on LinkedIn?
Something I've been trialing more recently is making ads that are optimized towards mobiles, because I've found, I think there's over 50% of LinkedIn's users are on mobiles, so it makes sense to start optimizing ads towards them. And that would be using, we always go live with like your square creative and your horizontal, but then you can also go live with a vertical creative, and this will only show up on mobile devices. It kind of takes up the full screen, and it's just a new creative I've been testing out, and it has had some success. For example, one of the campaigns that's been ran on more recently, we added in the vertical creative is an optimization later on in the campaign, and over the last 30 days out of all the 24 leads that's been received by that campaign, 16 have came from that creative, so it shows that it has been effective and it's got a much lower CPA, so like $15.20 in comparison to $24.43, so it does show it can be effective.
Wow, yeah, that is really good, and I guess it definitely makes sense. People are spending so much more time on their phones these days, and I know we probably all have LinkedIn on our phones, so optimizing towards mobile size ad placements, definitely should be things we're doing in our campaigns going forward.
Yeah, and even just to test it out compared with other kind of ad formats, it never hurts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's always, and I know all our clients and everyone, all advertisers love testing different things to see what resonates best with their users. So yeah, definitely think it's a great thing, great feature to use going forward. Is there any particular campaign types that you would use this for, or would you recommend it across the board?
I've started to roll out, and I think it should start to roll out as a best practice, like something you go live with, as Drew said, to test and just see if it works well, because it could work well more for some campaigns than others, but I think it should be always live initially.
Yeah, cool, definitely. And I guess it gives the advertisers an opportunity to create some different looking ads. They can have some fun with this ad creative. It's like a full page experience almost when you're looking at it on your mobile. So yeah, very interesting. Moving on from mobile ads, is there anything else that you've been finding work well?
So similarly to what I was discussing with Meta, for LinkedIn, we've also been trialing kind of tracking more upper funnel events, but equally optimizing towards web traffic. We've been experimenting with this in a similar manner with Meta in terms of where we see kind of high ticket prices when you're not seeing a lot of conversion events, particularly for the Dell Prom kind of side of things. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to ask, and for this, do we need to see good amounts of traffic going to the website with that conversion campaign to start off with? Or is this something that you should be going using as the campaign set up from the start?
Well, I would say it's almost the inverse of that, where you tend to see more traffic with a web traffic goal. I mean, it makes sense, yep, considering the name of it, but you tend to see better engagement as well. Again, it's not optimizing for people who are buying the tickets, but at that point, if you only have maybe 5 to 10 people throughout the life of the campaign buying a ticket, LinkedIn's not going to be able to ever fully optimize to find the people that are most likely. It's not going to get that full scope of data. But when you're optimizing for web traffic, you might get click-through rates between 1.5 and 3%, which is really good for the platform. But then equally, you're going to get more impressions. You'll have and you'll have a much higher likelihood that the campaigns are able to fully exit learning and know the kind of people that are visiting the website for extended periods.
Yeah. So for our campaigns, how do you pitch this to your clients when their ultimate goal is to get conversions? What is the main benefit of this approach?
How I've explained it to clients is it's likely, regardless of what we optimize for, you'll get a certain amount of conversions. With tickets this expensive, you're never going to get upwards of the 50 conversion events that you need to exit learning. So it's better at that stage to optimize for a goal that we know will exit learning. In the end, it'll save the clients money, and it means we're not kind of wasting that budget on something that's not going to be optimized fully.
Yeah, definitely. And do you expect then to see lower CPAs at remarketing level by using website traffic at top of the funnel?
Yeah, we do tend to see a knockdown effect of that, where when we optimize for web traffic at the kind of new data level, especially when we're running things like spotlight ads at a remarketing level, we're seeing cheaper CPAs overall. And it means that we're able to, it means we're not only reporting on, like, oh, you know, we had a 700, 800 pound CPA, but we're gathering that good web traffic for you. We're seeing conversions at this lower level. We're gathering you more data. We're benefiting the health of your brands in the long run a lot more than if we just stuck with a conversion goal.
Cool. Yeah, very interesting. And again, I know I've got a lot of campaigns with high ticket prices and which maybe struggle to leave the learning phase, like you said, at top of the funnel. So yeah, this is definitely something we should try going forward.
Squadcast, the Tag Digital podcast.
Cool. Anything else on LinkedIn that's been working well?
Yeah, so kind of one thing that universally increases click-through rates in all of our campaigns is using more than 5 creatives. I think it's quite a simple concept. Like, you have more creatives, you have more opportunity to get exposed to more people, and the LinkedIn algorithm is able to really work its magic and find the right creatives for the ad, and that just all results in much better performance.
Cool. I guess that kind of links to what Beth was saying earlier. By testing the mobile ads, if we're needing to have at least 5 ads per campaign, we want to be trying different sizes, different creative types. What sort of creatives do you like testing against each other?
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't have to be a completely new image that against another completely new image. It's the sizes, it's the text, the copy, a completely different call to action. It's all the little small details that will result in something completely different.
And in terms of conversions, I know we see a higher click-through rate on adding at least 5 ads per campaign, but do you see an uplift in conversions on this as well?
That's how it usually works. The more click-through, more chance of converting.
Cool. And are you using this across all your campaigns just now?
Yeah, we should all be doing so.
Amazing. Well, that's, again, something we'll definitely make sure everyone's incorporating in their campaigns moving forward.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important when we're kind of getting those creators to have all sizes, because it's incredibly limiting when we only have, say, 1080 by 1080 and then a 1920 by 1080 kind of like vertical or horizontal image, rather. It means we can't fully test that out and we're not able to even gather that data in the first place.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that comes from the start of the campaigns, getting that communication across to the clients that we need all these placement sizes so we can test these out, especially if we're seeing such good performance from all the different sizes. Amazing. Well, thank you guys. Lots of things we can be continuing to implement in our campaigns moving forward.
Squadcast. The Tag Digital Podcast.
Amazing. That rounds up our Tag Digital Squadcast of Meta, LinkedIn, innovations, future predictions, and what's working well on the platform. Thank you very much to the whole of the Tag Digital social team for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much, Charlotte.
Squadcast. The Tag Digital Podcast.